In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. There's one thing you get told at some point if you're ever going to speak to somebody, people in church. It's a piece of advice that's given to you. Sometimes it's given early enough. Sometimes it's given too late. Some people don't need it. And some people get the advice and don't keep it. The rule is, don't quote lyrics of the Beatles. The Beatles gave their last concert in January 1969. Hands up if you remember those days. Okay. And although they did actually release music in 1970, really it was all over by the end of the 60s. The Beatles aren't current, and we can't pretend they're part of the modern pop culture. Yet I feel myself inexorably drawn to their lyrics, having listened to Nancy's reading this morning. In that short passage from John's Gospel, John mentions the word love or loved no less than nine times. You remember the song, the Beatles song. I'm not going to sing it to you, but it starts off, love, 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 love. Join in when you remember what it is. Love, love. Exactly. Nine times it mentions it. John seems to have inspired the Beatles. Possibly not. But we're familiar with the term. Popular culture is full of it, and pop songs couldn't get by without it. We know what love is, and we know what it feels like. Maybe that brings in mind a loved one. Maybe you're sitting beside a loved one right now. You might even give their hand a little squeeze, because love gives you that warm... Well, actually, hold on a wee minute. We have to go back to the start of this chapter to actually work out what John's talking about. Now, the start of the chapter was, for those of you who were here last week, what Amos used to preach on. And it's the famous passage where Jesus says, I am the vine. And that was the last of the seven great I am statements that John records in his gospel. And to understand what Jesus is talking about, we have to first of all go back and remind ourselves of what that means, I am the vine. First of all, Jesus tells us he's the vine and we are the branches. We receive our nurture, our power, our means of growth through Jesus. But it doesn't stop there. He goes on to say that we're pruned by the gardener. We're pruned by God, who wants to cut out the things in our lives that shouldn't be there when we're growing in the wrong direction or where there's some disease that threatens the plant. And it says that we will produce fruit as a natural consequence, as sure as day follows night, as sure as harvest follows seed time, we will produce fruit because we are growing in the power of Jesus and with the care and attention of our loving Father. So we have this word, love. The gospel and popular culture share the same word. But then the language of love, well, maybe it diverges. And I think we can start, first of all, with that notion of love pruning. Well, that certainly goes against popular culture. There is a mood, a theme, and very often a post on Facebook that says, this is me, I can be no other. Sometimes it comes over a little more aggressively than that, and if there are those of you here like me who have a mild addiction to Facebook, you may be familiar. Sometimes people say something, I think the best we can call it is sassy. when they tell you about themselves. They list their characteristics, whether they be good or bad, and then they tell us that, well, we'd better get on with it because I'm not going to change. Well, I thought this was just a thing that went around Facebook, but apparently there is an emerging philosophy, and it's called radical authenticity. And the gist of it is that you have to be honest about who you are. But there's not much of a mood that you should ever change. This notion, of course, is not new. In Hamlet, Shakespeare puts into the mouth of one of his characters the phrase, "To thine own self be true." This is Polonius giving his advice to his son. Well, sometimes giving advice to your son is difficult because apart from anything else, it highlights your own failings. But Polonius's words, I think, have a message today. But it might not be the message that it had at the time. To thine own self be true, at the time, apparently, meant principally, look after number one. To be true means to be supporting, so look after number one. That's not what we tend to think of it, though. We think it means be honest about yourself, to yourself. Don't hide your faults. And I think it's appropriate that the meaning has changed over the years because it's handy if you can change the meaning. It's handy if you can make it mean what you want it to mean. It goes against popular culture to say, depend on God. We like the idea of self-improvement. We like the idea of getting better at things. And did Jesus not say the same? Did he not say, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect? Well, yes, he did, but these words came in the Sermon on the Mount, and it was just after the Beatitudes, and he was listing a few things, and he talked about love, how appropriate. But he said, don't just love people who love you. What kind of difference does that make? Be perfect as your Father is perfect. It says also in the Bible, in John's Gospel, it says, God so loved the world. Well, the whole world doesn't love God, but God so loves the world. We have a picture of perfection. There's another thing about that, thine own self be true, and that it's terribly focused in on me. I have a responsibility, it's my responsibility, but it's just to me. And the responsibility is to benefit me. Look after number one. It's all about me. But what difference does that, the love of God, make here and now if we're just concentrating on me? Well, I think love, first of all, has to be our motivating force. You remember I was about to tell you about that fuzzy feeling? With Jesus, love is the thing that gets us going. It's our empowerment. We need to work out our love for those who need it, not just for those who love us back. And we can't go it alone. It's not about self-improvement or showing how big we are. First of all, we have to let God into every aspect of our lives. We can't say, I'm going to love this, I'm going to reserve my love from that. If God so loved the world, and he tells us to be perfect, then maybe we need to so love the world as well. And we can't say, take me as you find me. Get used to it. We have to say, take me as you find me, and may the love of God transform my life. If we remain in the love of God, we're going to find out what it is to be a child of God when we allow that love to become the basis of our relationships. And here, I think, is the difference between that fuzzy love and the love that God teaches. Because it's in relationship that we find what love is. Can we find a definition of love? It's how God wants us to interact with one another. It's not about what's in, but what's between. Jesus says, love one another. John repeats it. I get the feeling that he wouldn't be a good joke teller. John has this repetitive nature. If you gave him a joke, he'd tell you it. Then he'd be forced to tell you it again. Then he'd tell it from a slightly different point of view, just in case you didn't get it. Then he'd tell you why it was a joke, why it was funny. And he hammers the point home. Love is the motivation for our actions. Love is why we let God prune our lives. Love is why God prunes our lives. He wants to take away all these things that don't reflect the love of God. So how do we love other people? Well, first of all, we don't wait for them to love us back, to love us first. Secondly, we recognize that other people need to grow, and we need to give them the opportunity to grow. Can they grow in their faith? Can they grow in their understanding of who God is? Can they grow in their understanding of how precious they are? Can they grow in their understanding of their place in the world? Can we love through pruning? Can we show our love through God to God through allowing our lives to be pruned? Can we show our love of God through pruning somebody else's life? You remember that thing I said about giving advice to your son and it highlights your faults? I think that highlights our faults as well. And can we show love through fruit? Will we allow our lives to show fruit in love? I wonder what it means to show fruit. The passage doesn't tell us. It doesn't tell us what the fruit of the kingdom is. Well, you can read lists of what it is: joy, peace, patience, kindness. But to the vine there are many branches. And I think the harvest from each branch depends on that branch, and it depends on its relationship to the vine. If we love God, I think we have to ask him, what is the fruit you want me to give for the kingdom? When we do that, when we recognize that our power comes from Jesus, when we recognize that we need that growth, when we recognize that God wants to cut out the poison and the growth in the wrong direction, when we recognize that we're here to produce a harvest for the kingdom, then our lives reflect the love of God. The lives show the love of God for other people to see. We feel the love of God. I'm starting to repeat myself again. There I go again. Love, 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 love. The message of the gospel: love one another. Look out for one another. Help them to grow. Keep them on the right path. Keep them from the wrong path. And produce fruit for the kingdom. Amen.